Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Hallelujah. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, once again, we are in your presence. We've been in your presence. And your people are eager to hear. I pray that the word of God will penetrate our hearts. I pray that we'll be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you that you are at work in us, both to will and then to do of your good pleasure. We take comfort in that we are not on our own, but the willingness and the ability lies with you. And you are doing and working that in us. Thank you that this word will do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we were talking about types of women. And we talked about the contentious woman. And we talked about what contention means. And what a brawl is. Amen. And now, we want to look at what are the remedies to contention? Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1. Proverbs 15 1. What does it say? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It means that sometimes you are not even angry, but the harsh word, the anger is lying down quietly in your bosom. It hasn't said it's going anywhere. But a harsh word. You see how when you stir tea, maybe you put milk, but you can't really see the milk. And when you stir it, you see the colors fully. You see? So a harsh word stirs up anger and brings the war zone to another red alert. Do you see? But a soft answer. How many of you know that when you have issues and you are contentious, your answer is likely not to be soft? It's always hard, offhandish, rude, you know, because the flesh is just manifesting. But the Bible says a soft answer turneth away. Maybe the wrath is coming, but a soft answer. You know, sometimes your husband will come and ask you something. He has already reached conclusions and he asks you, why did you leave the garage door? Did you not see that? And then you too, you pour the petrol into the already seething fire. And it becomes some way. But if you just compose yourself. Some people say, count up to 10. A soft answer. And as you do, hey, and why did you? I wasn't the one who did it. I didn't leave the door open and all that. And but even if you're not the one, then why did you? Sometimes just even keep quiet. Amen. But most of you don't know a soft answer. You see, one day we were at the cathedral and I was driving to church. And my car, I felt brushed against the car. And before I could see, the bonnet of the car had fallen down. So, the whole bonnet. So, I was very surprised. And I said, is it my car? Is it the wind? Was it something that was about to happen already? I mean, I genuinely asked myself. Then, I called my driver because he lived in the area and he was not with me. So, I said, this is what has happened. So, please come and stand by the car. But I was getting to the end of second service. So, when the owner comes, you will explain to the owner that as I drove by, there was a brush and then the thing fell. But I will fix it and do whatever it takes to make good the problem. And then, when I came, I told Lady Pastor Shirley and the people around, oh, this is what has happened. So please, after church, go there and let's sort the person out so that it doesn't become a problem and all that. Then after church, I had to go down the basement to meet some people. And I knew that I had told these people to sort it out for me. So one of the ushers said, oh, I even know the owner, the lady. So I will speak to her before. So I think they told the lady. So I was down in the basement when I was called that the lady is waiting for me by the notice board. When I came, she was swollen like a volcano. And I said, oh, you know, what even surprised me was, maybe that was also a bad starter. I said, when I just passed by, so I was wondering whether the bonnet was already hanging or what had happened, because to just drive by, madam, please, hey. The manifestation was not easy. Then the usher stand and said, oh, it's okay, she will do it for you, please. It's the first lady, by all means, if she has said that she will do it. First lady, and so what? It was easy. And then she started to talk. I mean, if you did that, and I didn't see where the anger was. So, without thinking, I just walked close and I said, madam, calm down. I will solve the problem. Calm down. And the people went. It was on the other side of the car park where her car was parked. So they went across. When they went, oh, they came back running. They said, oh, I said, oh, they'll go with you. The fitter will write how much it will cost, everything. When they went, they said, oh, the bonnet, that type of car is held by hooks, and the hook had just opened. So they just put the hook in place, click, and it was done. So when I looked at the way I was faced, I felt that the person had meant me before, and that this was just a trap. Because the way she said, first lady, and so what? Hey. I think she even said, yes, I know her. First lady, hey. It's not an easy situation. Then, when I came back, I think some people had seen some lady pastors that they said, ah, we know her, pa. Show me. I'll go and face. They were ready. And I said, oh, it's not necessary. And Mrs. Saki said to me, I know her, pa. She's my sheep with a lot of issues. So allow me to ask her why she behaved like that. That's what I say is fast. The bonnet has been fixed. I mean, I feel that it's okay. It's not anything. And so we left it at that. But somebody else later shared with me. Then I said, you know, for all you know, she has a lot of problems. And she's probably frustrated about something. And then I came. You know, you just happened to be in the line of fire. I didn't think that I was the cause, but I think that I just happened to be in the line of fire. And then she just... And then one lady said to me, this lady, she always sits at the back. And every service I see her weeping. So, it's possible what you are saying. Now that you are saying it, it's coming to my mind. But I think that when I met her at the notice board, the way she was huffing and puffing, if I had also manifested, it would have become World War II. But I thank God for the grace. And I think if what was annoying was the way I put my hands on her chest. It's like, calm down. I didn't think of it. I think it was very annoying. You will always have opportunity to respond. Also to manifest, why should you also be this way? Me too. And even maybe the person will go and never come back to the church. But when the people were spitting on Jesus and all that, he said, forgive them. For they know not. It's not that they don't even know that what they are doing is wrong. But they don't know the implications. They don't know the spiritual significance of what they are doing. So when you make excuses for people, it makes it easier to have a soft answer. Oh, he's come from work. He's tired. Oh, it's the stress of ministry. Oh, it's what he's going through. It's what he has to manage, you know. It's not easy. If I put myself in those shoes, it's not easy. So that is why the person is behaving like that. So let me just give a soft answer. A soft answer turneth away. The wrath was coming, but the soft answer, calm down. Just diffused everything. Another time, they say deep sea fishing. I said, let me go and do deep sea fishing. I was not in the mood. You know, some mornings you just get up, you don't feel like talking much, you feel like being with yourself. So I came to church and I said, yeah, deep sea fishing. Okay, let me go. So at that time, the bookshop at the cathedral was a lobby. I've told the story over, and so I went and I said, oh, good morning, lady. Praise the Lord. What's your name? I'd like to know you and all that. My name is this. Every time I'm preaching about this, I'm almost saying the person's name by mistake. Anyway, my name is this. I said, oh, okay. Have you been visiting or are you part of the church? So, I've been coming for some time. She mentioned the number. I said, oh, then maybe it will be good if you join the ministry. Because then it will help you to go. Join which ministry? I've come. And then, oh. I was saved fully. I said, oh. I couldn't even believe it. Literally, tears came to my eyes. Literally. It's not metaphor. Literally. And I said, God, you know, this morning I don't feel like talking. By your grace, I'm not in need of friends. Am I now coming to talk to this person with all these problems? But I didn't say anything. The grace of God helped me not. And again, the Holy Spirit said to me, this one is a lot of problems. You see, when people have a lot of problems, you are not the cause. It's the, can't you see that when people have problems, they can even go mad and behave? That's how it is. You see, so the Holy Spirit said to me, it's not you. It's something else. You know, and I remember I asked her, oh, so where do you work? How many children do you have? But the flow was no good, so I left it at that. Then, when we went to the church, they were saying, so I went to sit where I sit. So, turn to each other, say this, and then Bishop Saki said, greet the first lady. Then I saw the lady. I think she didn't know who I was. But why do you have to know who I am before you say, like that, you know? So, time went on. Then Mrs. Addy came and said, oh, I have a friend called, I wanted to meet you. She has a challenge in this area, and her child is da-da-da-da. So I think that if she spoke to us, what did you say the name was? I don't know if she remembers. I said, what did you say? I can mention the name now. I said, this girl. I went to meet her. How she be? Anyway, you bring her. Something about education, her child. She had a retarded child. It's not easy to look after a disabled child. So by the time you have dressed the child and all that to come, you are high strung. And you just need understanding.
Harsh answer. The home is broken. The ministry is broken. And your own personal life is broken. And I think that's why God gives us the remedy. Be quick to hear that process. But we are not going to be. I mean, sometimes when we talk again, how would you like to be talking? Are you a man? You standing there. Do you call yourself a man? Is this a man? Okay, the man.
Yes, I'm a godly woman. I'm a Christian. I'm a godly woman. conferences, long prosecution sessions, by normal forbearance, the ruler and sometimes your forbearance is with anger. As if we are stomach. Your facial expression, your body language, they are all loud words. Did you know the Bible says if you suffer for doing what is right, can it be? But we Christians don't think that you should suffer for what is right. I'm right, so I should not suffer. But sometimes you suffer for what is right. You suffer for what is right. And Peter says, I think you suffer for what is right.
Amen.
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 But the Christians of today, are not prepared to the Christians of today are not prepared to suffer anything. By long progress, the Bible says we talk about forgiveness. It says forbearing one another. It means putting up with.
Hello. Forbearing means putting up with. So that you're putting up with something. Not that you don't say that.
I'm still going to please God in it. You see, Christianity is not a bed of roses. And even if it is, roses have thorns. So God has not called us some soft life where everything works your way. Everything works according to how it should work. It's not like that. And in every relationship, you will have the opportunity to be godly or godless. Amen. And so we have to choose to be godly women. And the Bible says that you will be blessed in your doing. It says when you look in the perfect law of liberty and you go and do what it says, you will be blessed in your doing. Amen. Proverbs 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. It means whoever does not guard his mouth and tongue invites trouble. Our mouth and our tongues, they need guards because they like to slip out of the prison often. Amen. You see, Eve's main problem in the Garden of Eden was that Adam was not talking to her enough. So she found a substitute, which was the serpent. He said, I need somebody to talk to at all costs. So if Adam is not there, the substitute is the serpent. So every time I tell men, do not allow the serpent to replace you. Amen. Because women love to talk. Even the quiet ones, they love to communicate. It's like, listen to me, listen to what I'm saying. And why did God put us together with such incongruent people? We don't mix. We are very different. When you ask a man, when he goes to a program, what happened? It was powerful. Did people come? Yes. How was it? It was great. Oh. But if I ask my fellow woman, how was the meeting? Hey, the attendance was great. The Abana, come and see. They put up some balloons and this. Then a brass band came and blew, pa, 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 pa. Then after that, the people filed in. And when they filed in, then they sat down. Then there was a message. And the message was so bad. People stood up and this. And after that, you know, they had a reception. You have given me a real update. I feel that I was even... But when you ask a man, it was good, it was powerful, it was great. What does that mean? I want to know. And sometimes when I ask a lot of questions, my husband will say, sometimes he'll say, I wasn't there, okay? That's what I was told. Really? Yeah. So when they came, so what happened? So how do you know? So did he go there? Really? So how does he come to that conclusion? Yeah. Is it based on what? Mommy, I don't know. And you realize that the talking has reached a point where it's okay, I don't know anymore. Then I said, ah, but if you don't know, just say that you don't know. But as if you are being persecuted or pushed to the wall, say, because the questions you're asking, I don't know. Why should you be frustrated if you don't know? Just say you don't know. Hallelujah. He that guards his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. The gossiping. If only you would guard your tongue and your mouth. Let a security guard of the Holy Spirit and the power of God guard your tongue. Because when you are angry and there's a quarrel at home, you say things you don't mean. Divorce me. Go. I will also divorce you. After all, I regret marrying you. Then, hey. And then when they finish, they will come for counseling. Lady pastor, he's left me. She regrets marrying me. This is, hey, did you say that? But he was annoying me. You know? One lady, she came for church and then she went home. And when she went home, she went to meet another woman in her husband's bedroom. She was very wild. In Kolegono. So she came back in fighting shorts and she couldn't breathe properly. And I said, hey, what has gone? Inshallah, wow. I'm beating her. You know, she beat and I was glad she beat her. She should beat her. She beat her. I don't have the gift, but somebody will beat her fully. Inshallah, wow. Husband came to beg. Oh, please. Oh, this. I said, no. Hey, lady pastor, he came here, I can't marry him again. No. So me, all that I know is that they are divorced and it's over. And we came to the Kodesh. Oh, just recently. And she saw me in a way chair and things. Me came husband, Baba Banga boy. Oh, husband. Then she mentioned his name. Oh, yes. Let's say, Sammy. Yes, Sammy, came me. So I said, hey. Upon all the anger, the shouting, they are back. And when they came back, she couldn't even come and tell me that she's back. But in your anger, you destroy so many things. Things that you can't apologize away sometimes. Things that when you apologize, they say you meant it. And even when the person says, I will divorce you, then you too, the harsh word stirs up your anger. Say, me now, I've been wanting to go. Long ago. It's not now that somebody said, hey, Bushman like you, if you look at your kinke, am I your tunam? Am I your tunam? Kinke like you, am I your tunam? See, even the insults, they are as variations. We are creative with the insults and imaginative. He that guards his tongue and his mouth keeps his soul from trouble. Because afterwards, when you want to mop up the beastliness, it becomes more work than if just a soft answer. More work, more damage control. And sometimes the damage is even irreparable. Sometimes you go and talk to the wrong people in your anger. Then talk to your mother. This man of mine, he's bad. He's done this. He's done that. So your mother too will not forgive the man. When the man comes, my daughter, and then he's just treated. So even when the man has repented and changed, your mother's heart is turned against the man. And that makes your marriage also suffer. He that guards his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Perhaps if we guarded our mouth and our tongue, the church of God would progress. But we are always having discussions, even things we haven't seen, we say we've seen. Things that our imagination, we say is real. You see, somebody said, one lady pastor said to her husband, I want to ask you a clear question. Are you in love with this lady pastor? This other lady pastor? The husband said, no. I said, ah. Okay. I've heard. But a few minutes after, then she comes back. You were saying, I want to tell you that you are in love with her. You asked for an answer. They've given you the answer. Now you've come back with your own answer. So why did you ask the question in the first place? Complexities. And because we are emotional, we get on that emotional roller coaster and it takes us far. And sometimes we go to a place of no return. So one pastor's wife said, if my husband ever takes me back, I will listen to everything he says. If he will take me back, all the things that I have disobeyed him about, I will just flow. But why do you wait to lose everything? So if he says I should sit here, I will sit here. But you know, before, if he says I should sit here, I will go there. But now, if he's to accept me, I will change all those things. Why do you have to go to the school of hard knocks before you learn? He that guards his tongue and his mouth keepeth his soul from trouble. Hallelujah. We are still on with the remedies for contention. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. I looked at the word fool. It says somebody who is not sensible. You vent all your feelings. It's true you are feeling like that. But the words are not good. So don't speak at that moment. Hallelujah. Be quick to hear. Slow to speak. And slow to anger. If you use these three keys, you'll be okay. But you say, let me vent. Honey, my expressing. Let me vent all my feelings. Let me show him what I feel. But what you feel, it's so nebulous. That same feeling. Later you say, oh, I shut by. I couldn't believe I felt like that. So why are you manifesting in the midst of the feeling? You are likely to do the wrong things. You see, Elijah, when he was going by feeling, he said, let me die. I'm not better than my father. So he was feeling depressed. So you shouldn't speak when you are depressed. He said, let me die. I'm not. If you wanted to die, why didn't you wait for Jezebel to kill you? But when she was killing you, you ran away. Then now you are going to sit under a tree. Let me die. See the foolishness of our emotions. Let me die. I'm not better than my father's. I'm not whatever. You feel that God has abandoned you. That is why you shouldn't take important decisions in that state. Because you are likely to make a mess. You are so angry. You are so worked up. You have packed your things. Sometimes 1 a.m., people have packed their things. They are standing by the roadside. These days, armed robber will come and take that suitcase. That suitcase that you have packed, that you are going. 1 a.m. at times, we have to rush to a home to say, please, take it easy. Don't go. You have packed your things. When you finish, the next day, the same, you pray, drop it again. Oh, Bashia. So some of the going is not necessary. It's just how you feel. So if you are going, ask permission to spend the night with your friend, spend the night with your mother, or something. But don't pack your things. One woman, she packed her husband's things and added a clock. So all the marriage, this is the only thing you brought. Here you are. Go. Go away. This one is live. And the man was begging like a woman, please. I beg you, don't send me away. Let's work it out. It will work. Please. No. You have been here. It's been about 8 to 10 years. Okay, no koba. This clock, that's all. You see what somebody is saying? He didn't force. You see? whether that is the case, only God knows. Because he was paying his children's fees and everything. I don't think that only a clock is what he brought. Oh, man. The foolish man says all his feelings, but the wise one holds it back for a moment. Because when you hold it back, you have time to reflect. You have time to ask if God, is this you? God, is it right? You have time to compose your words properly before you speak. Hallelujah. But many times, pain makes us speak. And sometimes, a pastor's wife, due to pain, say, I'm not going to church. But before you were married, you were going to church because you were a Christian. How come now that you are married, church going has become a threat to your husband? I won't do anything in the ministry because of the way you behave. Hey, when you stand before God, okay, Carol, I gave you 5 gifts. How did you express, so, Lord Eddie, because of Eddie, I wasn't able to use the 5 gifts you gave. Frustrations here and there, Lord. But the Bible said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. Through it. And the Bible says, in all these things, we are not around them, but in them, we are more than conquerors. So we are supposed to fight. It's not a lying down. You see, the Bible says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God. And I was saying in Tamale, some of us, we are not putting on the armor of God. We have worn bikinis, model bikinis. Some of us have taken sports equipment. Some of you have worn mama, but armor, you don't have any. You are not ready for a fight at all. You are leading your social life. You are going for athletics. You are doing other things. But the real fight that the believer is supposed to fight. In fact, when I say fight, you say, hey, are we in a fight? I've never felt it. Because there's no opposition and there's no pressure to press in to become anything that God wants you to become. A fool speaks all his feelings, but a wise man holds them in till afterwards. Amen. Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. You see, meddling means you are still toying with the thing, involved with the issue. Meddling, you are working around it, touching it, you know, you are not leaving it alone. And that is what meddlesome. You're always mixing the issue in everything that you do. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The Bible says that the beginning of contention is like the letting out of water. And that you should cease from strife before it becomes a dam. You see, water starts when a place is going to be flooded. It starts slowly. Slowly. Then before you know, your room, the flood has gone up. But it started slowly. It says that every contention has a beginning. And when it's beginning, it looks cool, harmless, like, oh, just water just running. Water just running. So the beginning of contention is like, you know, water just coming in. But afterwards, it becomes a dam. And it swallows us up. And it drowns us. And it says, therefore, cease from contention. And this one says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. But a fool will still be meddling. You see, you have to judge by the results of what you are discussing. The point you are trying to drive home. What you are trying to achieve. You judge by the results. This thing is not going in the right direction. Although I'm trying to get understanding, I'm trying to let the thing go. The more I say, the more I see it's going in an opposite direction. It is now time to cease. Cease fire. But in many homes, you cease fire over an issue for just a while. And then you revisit it again. You are like Israeli and Palestinians. Every time you are signing cease fires, but it doesn't work. But to cease from strife. Strife is here. I've ceased. I'm not near it. Because as I've started, I've seen that the beginning of strife. It's becoming like a dam. And the thing is beginning to now overwhelm me. And at a point, it obsesses you. You become like a mad person. Everything the person does, you pass it through that sieve. Everything the person does, so you never see anything good because you have become fixated with this one thing. The beginning of strife is like the letting out of water. And it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but fools will still be meddling. So look at where the thing is leading you to. Look at the effects of the thing before you see it. The prudent man sees the evil that is ahead and keeps himself. Learn the issues that you have revisited and revisited and revisited and still don't take you anywhere. God said, you have gone round this mountain for too long. And some of us, the mountain, we are not progressing in our walk. This mountain, we have gone round it. The same spot you were at, you come back. 2007, 2006, 2000. You must now take a decision. That this circular movement, I've seen that a linear movement towards this direction will rather make progression. So I have decided to cease from strife where this issue is concerned. Case closed. And that closes the door to the enemy. But if you keep meddling as a fool, and because that place hurts you, you will keep visiting that place. Every day you are a tourist, you go, you sign. Every day you go, you sign. Visitor's book. It's time to say, this place, I won't step there again. It's been 9 years. It's been 10 years. I'm always going to this place, trying to correct this thing. And the effect, I can see. Satan, I can see you that this is what you want to achieve. I'm not going there. I said that if you put on boxing gloves and your opponent doesn't come, there's no fight. So when people put on boxing gloves, don't also go and get wilder ones and get into the ring. Pass by the ring and say, bye-bye, I'm not coming in there. Because many fights will call you. Sunday morning, you are thinking about yourself, it will call you. You've gone to drive by somebody's car, it will call you. And then when you say, let me remove my mama and show her that, keep gloves, then you jump into the ring. Ogba. Amen. It is the honor of a man to cease from strife, but a fool will be meddling. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion or prudence of a man deferreth his anger. And it is the glory of a king to pass over a transgression. We don't know Jim Monka. Leave it. You don't want to lose anything. Everything you must win. Everything you must be the champion. Everything you must be right. Everything you must be adjudged right. That's not how to live. He said, a king, it is the glory of a ruler to overlook a transgression. And God has overlooked many of your transgressions. He overlooked it and called you into the ministry. He overlooked it and blessed you. He overlooked it and used you. How come you cannot overlook anybody's sin? So she's some way. Who is not some way? Who is not? As Bishop says, everybody has a left leg and a right leg. Who doesn't have down moments? Everybody does. But to overlook that, this thing, I've come to see that it's like diabetes. Whatever I do is the person's sickness. It won't go. So I'll just manage it and I'll overlook. And I will celebrate the other areas of the person's life. And we can be happy and go on. But every time we are looking for perfection. So I have 80. Let me leave it and go and work on the 20. By the time you come, the 80 are finished. The 20 has destroyed the 80. And nothing exists anymore. It is a king's story to defer his anger. To defer means to postpone. Yeah, not everything, it happens, not your anger has come. Postpone it. Postpone the anger that today, I don't have energy. I don't have zeal. And you know, by the way, when you get so angry, so worked up, you are the one destroying your body. Because anger affects your heart. It produces stress, heart disease, and all these problems. And the person you are angry with, may be easy sailing by. One pastor's wife told me that an issue came to her house. And they could debate and argue about this thing till about 2 a.m. Every day. And one day, husband said, "You know something? This thing is not even about us. It's about somebody and our opinion about what is happening in the body of Christ. I'm telling you that the two people involved are asleep. It's 2 a.m. Come. Let's go to bed. It's not worth it." She said it was then that it hit home that, but it's true. Because it's been days and days, and sometimes she wouldn't talk to him for having the opinion that he has. And you know, how can you also believe this? Are you not a believer? Somebody's might have problems. Okay, you've talked about it a bit, but now it has become a rift in your home. And you don't even sleep. So when he hasn't brought the sanity that, "My sister, what do you think the people are doing now?" She said, "I'm sure they are asleep." She said, "So we. Why sit we here and perish?" And many times when you look at issues, you see that sometimes you can quarrel over a church member. It has nothing to do with the marriage or the homo. It's like, "This one, I'm going to change her from this." "Why should you change her? Every day you change her. I know, I agree that..." Oh, when you look, 3 a.m. dreaming and having nice, then you. A lot of our quarrels are unnecessary. And a lot of them don't solve anything. A wise man defers his anger. And it is the glory of a king to overlook a matter. Amen. Those of you who are solution oriented, you have to fix everything. It's not like that. Amen. Proverbs 15:33. Before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. It takes humility to say, "I'm sorry." It takes humility to say, "I was wrong." One pastor's wife told me, "As for my husband, whenever I apologize, the whole quarrel is revisited. You are sorry, really? For what? For what happened? What happened? Oh, I think that the way I spoke, how did you speak? Oh, I thought that I spoke rude, and you didn't know that you were being rude when you were speaking." So she said that, "Look, all this thesis, so I will not even start. I will not even go there." So that, I said that, no, humility comes before honor. But you can tell, you know, "I don't think I want to go into all that, but I just want to express my sorrow and disappointment at what I did, or my apology, and I hope that it will be accepted." One of them told me, a husband has a throne. As soon as she says, "I'm sorry," he runs and he sits on it, some high chair in their living room, and then he crosses his legs. "For what?" And she has to go and visit her. I was surprised. Not a pastor's wife in this church. And she told me, one day, as I even said to her, "But if you say you are sorry, then kneel down." So she said, "Such a thing. Do you think that I'll apologize again?" "I won't. I'll just put it in my head." I said, "Oh. Then tell your husband's pastor to advise him. Because God, you see, the prodigal son, when his father saw him, a great while away, he ran to meet. When you see a little sign of the person coming, you also run to meet the person somewhere of the journey. Hallelujah. Before you, some people are angry at the kneeling down. Before humility comes honor. And before honor comes humility. Amen. It takes humility to have a soft answer, to say ceasefire, to defer your anger, to overlook a transgression. It all takes humility. Amen. 1 Peter 2:21 says about Jesus, "Being reviled, he reviled not. When he suffered, he didn't do what?" Are you there? 21. 1 Peter 2:21. "He threatened not. Being reviled, he reviled not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges faithfully." The reason why contentions and things are so many are that when you are reviled, you revile again. When you suffer, you threaten. Hey, if you do this again, what will happen? But our master, being reviled, maltreated, insulted, he reviled not again. When he suffered, it's when you suffer that we see what is in you. It's when you are squeezed that we see whether you are apple juice, pineapple juice, or orange juice. Amen. But when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. We have to learn to do that. How to leave things with God. How to let God fight. You see, that's why the Bible has to tell us the battle is the Lord's and not yours, because we like taking on battles that are not ours. And we think that any battle that concerns me is mine. No. Any battle that concerns you, you have a shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Why? Because most of you are always in motion. So even stillness, right, you are not used to it. Be still. God. Be still. Be still. It's doing you. You cannot be still. The stillness is a major temptation for you. Be still. Still with your mouth, still with your tongue, still with your body language, still with your hands. I once asked Bishop, this thing, where did you learn it from? I don't care. When he's preaching, you know that. And you, the woman, you said, and he, that's his son. I don't. I said, where did you learn it? I said, he thinks maybe television. Amen. But God has to give us all these verses. Be still and know that I'm God. The battle is mine. And not yours. Because you are not even in the army. That fights for you. But every time you go and enlist and join. And God has to ask you to leave. Please leave. The battle is not. He could have said the battle is mine. But he didn't say that. He said, the battle is not yours. Because every time you are putting your name on the various battles, you are claiming ownership of battles that are not your own. And of battles that you will lose. You will lose fully and lose everything. But he says the battle is mine. And not yours. Hallelujah. Committed himself to him who judges faithfully. Allow God to fight for you. Because when he fights for you, the fight is clean. He doesn't have other things with it. Many times God has fought for me. You don't have to say a lot. You don't have to fight a lot. God himself will fight for you. And the people will come and say, Lady Pastor, do you remember me? I remember you. But if you take the fight upon yourself, hey, you are in the ring, I'm coming, wait for me, I'm changing. It becomes something else. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures suffering wrongfully. That's what I talked about. That Peter said, 1 Peter 2:19, if you suffer for doing what is right, blessed are you. So sometimes you are right, but you suffer because you are right. You are right, but you suffer as if you are a wrongdoer. It is all part of God pruning us and making us more like him. There's nothing that Jesus did or didn't do that he has asked you and I to do. So we have a faithful high priest who has done all that he says that we should do. And he will help us to become what he wants us to be. Always ask God for forgiveness. And do not take to heart everything people say. The Bible says, if you listen to your servant all the time, you hear him curse you. And some of you, you always want to listen. When you hear anything in your house, say, what's the house girl saying? What's the house boy saying? Let me look at my husband's phone. What are they saying? What are they? You are worrying yourself. Adding more things to your life. What are they saying? Where are they going? Where are they? Look, God who sees. And God, to whom all things are laid bare, is the one who should fight your battles for you. He is the one you should enlist on your army, because he will fight for you. Hallelujah. But we take everything to heart. Says that if you take everything to heart, you will hear even your servant cursing you. And many things you are better off not hearing. You are better off just living your life. And if God wants to fight about it, he will fight about it big time. Hallelujah. So stop, what do you say, looking, snooping around for things to hear, sniffing. What is she saying? What does she think? What comment did she make? You see, the way she made her face, let me go nearer. I will hear the comment. It will give you more problems. Don't you have enough work on earth to do useful work than to add these things to our lives? We don't need them. Hallelujah. Lastly, praise and affirm your husband often. Praise and affirm your husband often. All the people around you. In our culture, we don't praise even children much. And sometimes children haven't done anything, but you are just calling them. You say, come here, look at his head. I don't know, is that an insult? It is. I don't know where it's from. The person has not done anything. He said, no, come here, look at his head. Come and take the cup for me. I mean, it's not, it doesn't come in. It's not an issue. Look at his head. Have you created a human being before? And when you are speaking in Ghana, you say, what has the person done? But we are not used to praise. The flesh is used to criticism. The devil is used to condemnation. But in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we ourselves condemn ourselves so much. We can't even rise up to even face God or face other people. And we meditate on what is wrong with us. We believe that there's nothing good about us. And as a man thinketh, so is he. Anyone who criticizes people a lot usually does not also love himself. And it's just a transmission of what is within. Hallelujah. And so we have to start by healing ourselves inside. And when we feel good about ourselves and what Christ has done, we will easily say to somebody, you look nice. Your dress is nice. I like the way you are. Your niceness challenges me. This is an inspiration. But when you are not happy about yourself, when the person is kind, it accentuates your wickedness, so you don't want to know. You say, and so what? And so what? She thinks, she does not think, you think. She thinks she's very cute. You know she's cute. You know. You know, she has not said anything. You know, and it's troubling you. Because when you look at cuteness and yourself, you are far. And the more you look at it, the more you see the distance. And whatever you criticize doesn't come to you. But what you praise comes to you. I am not saying that the men in your lives are perfect. But don't wait for a funeral before you come and read a tribute. You were a loving husband. You cared for our children. You paid school fees. You took them for piano lessons. You did that one you don't remember now. When he dies, when he's alive, you remember he brought only a clock. When he dies, then you remember all the things. And I said in my tribute to Mrs. Saki that I'm happy that it's not on her death that she's going to realize, oh, this is what mommy felt about me. Oh, this is what mommy thought about me. Because I always try to tell my friends, especially on their birthdays, I thank God for your life. You are an encouragement to me. I thank God. I love you. You know, express what you mean. But it's not that when it's first, oh, she was a great woman of God. Oh, she really blessed me. And she never knew. You never expressed it. Words don't cost anything. Presents, parcels, money, they cost something. But words don't cost anything. One lady told me she sent a present to her sister and said that it's not what, the present doesn't matter, but it's the heart. And the sister sends a message back that present also matters. Amen. But Bible says that as refining pot to silver, so is a man to his praise. When silver is in a refining pot, it gets shinier and shinier. And it's saying that when you put a man in that pot of praise, he would want to please you more. He wants to do what is right. But the challenge is the familiarity, the humanity of the man in your life, and all that. You look at all that, you say, I don't see anything, lady pastor. I don't see, but look closely. There's nobody who is completely bad. And some of you say, but he never praises me. Why should I praise him? The Bible says, what you sow, you will reap. It's a sowing. The harvest will come. The harvest will come. God knows how that harvest will come. Hallelujah. So praise him. When he dresses and he's going, even if you forgot it, send him a text. You look good today. You look good. Amen. But some of you don't even know what color shirt did he wear. I don't know. Well, how did he go? I don't know. You don't know his wardrobe. Oh, his collar is torn. It's none of your business. But the virtuous woman, her husband is known in the gates because of her. Hallelujah. And you are busy, busybody about other people's husbands and other guys in the church. Oh, why don't you do this? Oh, let me care for you. Oh, what? But your own vineyard you have not kept. That's what Songs of Solomon says. My own vineyard I have kept, but I'm busy caring for other vineyards. How can that be? Some husbands get angry that their wives are in the ministry. Because when they come to church and they call them, Sister Sholanda will come and deliver a word. Then you come. I just want to bless the Lord for this afternoon. And then the husband will say, hey, can people look like angels like that? I just want to bless the Lord and I want to give him glory. Your husband doesn't recognize you. Because in the house, you are a full manifested monster. But when you come to the house of God, and anything we ask you to do, we are so happy with you. We feel that you are the best sister we ever saw. When we are there, say, can I give you a cup of water? What about coffee? What about tea? But in your own house, there's no food. Oh, but that's and these are realities, things I've seen, things I've experienced. When I ask you, what's your husband eating? Have you made prepared? Say, he's eating cornflakes. 6 p.m. 6 p.m. He's eating cornflakes. Odawase. Odawasepi. Amen. So when they see you now, you are in protocol department. You are walking around. Hey, Reverend Eastwood, what can I offer you? And there's hunger at home. Farming. I myself have been on trips. Hey, I was so hungry, I was shaking like this. Me, how much do I eat? Also, when I looked at the husband, hey, your cornflakes, I was so... Me, I'm going by you. You live here. It's not easy. And once I was with some sisters and they said, oh, mommy, this one day when we go to Ghana, you really have to teach about hospitality because this one is very wild, pa. Hey, it's very wild. I said, teach on hospitality. I've taught long ago. It's on the tip. And when I taught it, I remember my husband seeing all these problems, different missions, hunger. So he told me that me, now when I'm going, my mind is not on anybody's food. I prepare myself. Before I arrive, I prepare. Because sometimes our pastors have gone and they have fainted in the houses. Because pastor's wife, you don't have time to cook for anybody. But in the church of God, when you stand, you minister. After that, you speak in tongues with interpretation. Show me your faith by your character. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. How did I get into all that? Let us care for things outside ourselves. You know, we don't care. Everything must be praise. Everything must be something that's seen in public. Everything must be... Other things you won't do. 2 weeks. I am still neno. Why? Sir Beflo is grad next to you, eh? Every day, Sir Beflo. But in the church, we say we are making a menu. So, rice potato croquettes. And then rice white sauce with beef. And I say, this sister, she's powerful. Oh, no power at home. No power. As refining pot to silver, so is a man to his praise. I'm going to give you an assignment. To write 10 good things you see in your husband. And as you go home, decide that you are going to tell him. Some of you say, hey. Some people are already laughing to shreds. You will list 10 good things. And if you can't picture him dead, you will see the things that you will remember. Even the mosquitoes he kills around you. If it doesn't bring money, it's still a blessing. Amen. So, Lady Pastor, he's too laid back. That is why you have a sane rate in life, a sane pace. Otherwise, if we were to follow you every day, we are running. Why? We also need to chill a little. Joyce Meyer says she always used to tell her husband, as for you, when you want to do something, Jesus will come before you do it. Because she is choleric and the husband is laid back. You know, and the husband also said that, you two, you are always racing towards what I know not. So she says that now she sees that she's like a horse. She wants to go and charge. And then God gives her Dave to hold her back a little. And that's why opposites attract. Because the fast ones are attracted to the slow ones. Will slow their pace down a bit. So look for 10 things in your husband. And write them down. And I will call one person to come and give me the 10 things. We have done this exercise before. Mind, do you remember? Some people said they don't have anything to write. Somebody said, I only know two. I only know one. Hey! Mercy. 10 things I want to praise or I can praise about my husband. 10 only. Usually there should be 20, but 10. 10 should be enough. If I told you 10 things you don't like, you will write 40. 10 things. And I'll also give a break for some question and answer time. And then we'll continue from there. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.